This episode was uploaded Saturday, January 7th, 2023, and you're listening to episode 18 of the 5x5 Room RPG Podcast.
In tabletop roleplaying, your character takes a lot of punishment. Sword cuts, spike pits, fireballs, owlbear beaks, and every dangerous little thing in between. After suffering through it all, your character is hurting for some healing. But do all wounds heal the same? Does the holy light from your cleric heal just as much as a bard kissing your boo-boos? This week, Hollis and I talk about giving healing a helping hand.
The running time for this episode is 31 minutes.
Welcome to the 5x5 Room. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Hollis.
And today we are talking about healing. This is a pretty normal occurrence in a tabletop role-playing game, but something that I think we could look at with a little more scrutiny and maybe try to glean some interesting things out of it. We previously talked in our Warlord episode about hit points as an abstraction, but I think it's a good place to start from. I don't want to retread too much ground, but Hollis, if you would just introduce this concept of healing as an abstraction or hit points as an abstraction.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. The way we look at health and HP in a game like Dungeons & Dragons is that it's actually not literal necessarily to the wounds that you're taking. When you get hit with a sword, you know that you would take 8 points of damage from that sword. But if I hit you with a telepathic ability or a gust of wind that would do the same amount of damage, it would still be 8 points of damage when it's all said and done. So damage isn't just the physical damage that you could take. Think of your HP and your health as sort of a combined health pool of all the potential sources of damage that your character can take.
Yes, and it's this idea that it's not just when you get hit by an attack, it's also even when you are hit mechanically, maybe you actually dodged the blow, but in doing so, you exhausted yourself to the point that your energy reserves are running low, and it will be that much harder to dodge the next blow.
The reason why it's important to look at something like health and HP as an abstraction is just to simplify the actual game itself and the mechanics that are involved. If we were truly trying to represent every which way that your character was damaged, you would probably need a fair number of variable kinds of hit points to pull from.
Yeah, and do we even track like, oh, here's arm damage and head damage and chest damage?
Absolutely not.
When it comes down to it, this is a game, and so we're going to abstract a lot of things in order to make them easier for us to manage. So let's talk about some of the consequences of abstracting hit points in the way that Dungeons & Dragons does it in particular. This is something that I call from perfect to zero to perfect. When you have one hit point out of your maximum of 32 hit points, you still function at 100% competency. You swing your sword just the same, you cast your spells just the same. Really, there's no mechanical difference if you're at your maximum 32 or you're at one hit point. But as soon as you lose that last hit point, you suddenly pass out on the ground, you are oblivious to the world around you, you are blacked out for all intents and purposes. Then getting one hit point back, you are completely in fighting form again. This is ridiculous.
What?
I don't think it's a very good representation of life. We go back to my ideas of simulation. But I can understand why the game functions this way. However, it has some problems. And one of them is dealing with long-term damage.
I understand also why it would be the case that we normally don't pay as much attention to this. Players and DMs alike already have a lot to keep track of when they're sitting at their table. So to add additional systems and subsystems of those systems to track the ways in which your character is being damaged can be very time-consuming.
But there are times when it could be interesting to the narrative. And so I wanted to talk a bit about having longer recoveries. Currently in the state of Dungeons & Dragons and in a lot of role-playing games, when you go to sleep for the night, you wake up, once again, 100% capacity. All of your spell slots are regained. All of your hit points are maxed out. You get everything back. Currently, in the 5th edition of D&D, there is one thing that doesn't completely refill, if you are familiar with your hit dice. This is almost completely overlooked in D&D, if you ask me. Any of the games that I've run, hit dice almost never come up. But technically, these are a resource that you have to expend when healing in some cases, outside of combat usually, and you do have a limited reserve of them, and after which you just cannot regain hit points unless by magical means. You also don't get back all of your hit dice when you go to sleep. You get back half of them, which just means you have to sleep twice. I guess that's something.
Hit dice and that system as a whole seems very rudimentary. And it's done so mostly to make sure the game can run as quickly and as efficiently as possible when you're looking at those health values.
I personally think hit dice get overlooked, and it's because, for the most part, it doesn't matter. Once again, like I said, you get half of them back. In very, very early levels, you have a hit dice equal to your level. So at like level 3, you only have 3 of them. That might mean that you don't get an opportunity to use them very often. At the very least, in some of our campaigns, you know, we'll maybe have 2 combats in a day anyway. So these hit dice don't really come into play unless you're dungeon crawling or something like that. But there was a similar concept to hit dice, and I think that the only reason they get called hit dice is because we didn't want to call them healing surges anymore. But 4th edition had healing surges, and there was sort of this different idea of how healing functioned in 4th edition. In order to harp on that, I wanted to talk about magical healing versus non-magical healing. I think you were looking at some magical healing already.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have thoughts here?
Well, to me, magical healing sounds like the kind of healing that I think should be allowed in D&D, and non-magical healing sounds like the kind of healing a warlord would do that people hated existed in D&D.
That certainly was the case 10 years ago.
Oh, okay. Okay, just making sure.
But now that we've all grown, what are your real feelings on magical healing?
To me, I look at them as if they're in the same bucket as I do about HP as a whole. I don't have a preference in how a player goes about getting healed. However, I do think that magical healing kind of does mess up the economy of the game in a unique way. In fact, all healing in general messes up the economy of the game in a unique way.
Do you think there should be a division between non-magical and magical healing?
Ultimately, no. I already kind of look at them in similar buckets, short of the narrative provided for how you go about healing. I don't think there needs to be a necessary separation.
So currently, any non-magical healing, for the most part, that takes place in Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition requires you to expend some of those hit dice. It's effectively your bodily reserves that can contribute to you recovering from injury. Magical healing, on the other hand, at any time, you can cast one of those spells, assuming you have spell slots, and those hit points are just straight recovered. Obviously, there are times when this distinction could be important or interesting, if you wanted to be able to have characters that can, you know, magically close a wound. But considering we don't spend that much time on wounds in D&D in general, I'm not sure that the distinction really becomes very visible.
Magical healing tends to heal quite a bit more, but as I'm sure we'll get to, there's a question of how important is the maximum health you can heal, really?
I mean, especially when we have sometimes radically different hit point values on characters, it gets a little even difficult. Supposedly, constitution has something to do with, you know, how sturdy you are. But realistically, I mean, if you're a D4 hit dice class, you have significantly less hit points than one that's D10, regardless of your constitution modifier. So I want to discuss injuries. There's plenty of other tabletop games that have injuries built in. And in 4th edition, even, there were some optional rules for them. But do you have any thoughts about actually using injuries in your game?
I actually like them as a rule set that you can sprinkle in depending on the kind of game that you and the party are trying to run. I do think that, similar to systems like Exhaustion, the injury system is not extremely well fleshed out. One of my main criticisms before was that by having a lot of pools of HP, as an example, you can bog down the game with subsystems of systems. Unfortunately, trying to keep track of injuries to me often feels like that's a step in that direction, and usually I'm not okay with it in my own games.
It just makes me think of, like, in media that we're often trying to replicate in our games, sometimes a character breaks an arm, and now we have to get through the scene that they're currently in, knowing that they are down the use of one of their arms, and or maybe their leg gets injured, and so they're going to be hobbling along rather than being able to run at full strength. I think these things can be narratively interesting, and they're fun to play with, but they have difficulties when we get into the minutiae of combat, because combat is already so zoomed in and very specific. it's kind of hard to introduce these concepts without completely throwing off the balance of the game. If your fighter uses a two-handed sword and the GM breaks one of his arms and he doesn't have a backup weapon, what does he do?
Because of that example that you gave, the only real way to implement it that I can think of that would be less intrusive and less, like, fiddly, if you will, might just simply involve giving static negatives. So if perhaps your arm was broken, narratively that can be whatever you want, but it's a negative to hit or negative to the damage that you could deal. But I agree with you. I think that trying to keep it as a subsystem and tracking how it makes it so that you can or can't use your weapon or can or can't cast certain spells is very fiddly.
Yeah, it gets difficult to handle the minutiae of rules like that. Also, like I said, it's narratively interesting sometimes. If you're in a very tense scene, that sounds way more interesting than, okay, it's my turn, I roll my d20 and I add my bonus. Do I hit? Okay, I do this much damage. Versus the narrative like, your arm is broken. You can barely even lift your sword with one hand, and you are just desperately swinging, hoping to get the killing blow on your opponent before they get you.
Is that you saying that you think injuries should be more commonplace in D&D?
I agree with you that they can be mechanically troublesome, and specifically to the way D&D runs combat, I think that there would be difficulty implementing them. But while we're on the topic of injuries, how do you feel about, like, a long-term injury? What happens when Luke Skywalker gets his hand cut off? Can we do that in a D&D game?
I think we could, but the reason why I don't think it works as well in a game like Dungeons & Dragons is that the system seems the most balanced and the most fun when players have the ability to do the cool things that they set out to do. And unfortunately, if you prevent players from doing the things that they have designed their character to do from the onset of creation, the game doesn't really allow you to remix and fix those pathways that have already been chosen that dictate that.
Yeah, and I think it's tough because as a player, you don't want to tell the GM, hey, could you cut my hand off in the next session? I have a cool idea. Because that's not very fun. You kind of want it to happen organically. But then if you were actually in the heat of a game and the GM says, you get attacked and you lose your hand, you'd be pretty upset about it. You'd be like, well, why did that happen now? So it's difficult to, like, find that line of where the GM doesn't feel like they're overstepping their bounds in the bodily harm of a character, while also, as a player character, wanting those, like, really dramatic, interesting things to happen.
So far, it sounds like we're saying that, A, we accept that all health or HP in the game is effectively an abstraction, and that, as far as injuries go, it's something that we think narratively is interesting, but mechanically seems like we'll bog down the game due to the minutiae.
Yeah, and this might be more one of my problems with D&D as a whole. Just doesn't handle these sort of things well, and it's because of the way combat is structured. It's a very particular give and take. I've used the analogy before, but it's trading hit points, and that's what it comes down to. If you mess with that balance a little too much, you end up with a bit of a train wreck. So let's ignore injuries then. And I'll go back to longer recoveries. I always liked playing with the idea back in 4th edition that you would get back all of your healing surges when you rested back then. You get half your healing dice now. I always liked the idea that what if you regenerated just a few of them? Or if you didn't get everything back? If we could enter a world where the player characters didn't just, like, go to sleep and then wake up at 100%. Like, maybe after a particularly hard battle, they're going to have to spend some time recovering. How do you feel about that?
That style of game would definitely encourage players to be a lot more cautious, A, with combat, but I think it also would suggest that you could not do as many combats, at least not ones that would actively cause harm to the party, if it was a table that enjoys a lot of combat. For an example, if the hit points are relatively low, but it's very, very difficult for them to recover the hit points, it means that they would either need to play very carefully when combat starts, or you simply just could not have as many combats as some players may like. It sounds more like that's a sort of rule set that only fits based on the table's preferences.
Yeah, and a lot of what it comes down to is going to be the table preference, especially if you're trying to add in what are effectively house rules at this point. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about what I mentioned in the beginning of the episode, this idea that you're at full health, you're at full competency until you hit zero, and then suddenly you're just knocked unconscious. This is really the thing that I think is my biggest sticking point with the way that damage is handled in Dungeons & Dragons in particular. And so I wanted to explore the idea of having wound penalties. other games introduce these, the idea that the more you get hurt, the less competent you are, the less likely you are in accomplishing your goals, leading you to be a little more careful. How do you feel about this?
I think it's actually wonderful. Having the character's damage that they've taken be represented within the actual combat that they're still in seems like something that is not only more immersive, but actually kind of makes more sense. If it's implemented in a way that isn't deep into the minutia, it's very likely that this is a better simulation, and this is something that allows players to play in a unique way.
However, though, as I mentioned, it'll probably make your players more careful. Is that what we want? Like right now, as the way the game stands, when you offer up, okay, how are you guys going to break into the enemy fortress? They say, we'll just kick down the door and walk in. Because realistically, if they get hurt, they'll just go home and go to sleep and everything will be fine. Maybe that's a little unrealistic, but sometimes it's more fun to say, yeah, let's kick in the door and be crazy.
In my experience, players tend to feel relatively invincible. And what I've learned, unless you're having a game that is going to be very punishing, often players won't feel worried or scared. Now, this is going to mean that your DMing style would need to modify and adapt to this so that your players do feel real danger at the table with their characters. But I can't see a reason why this shouldn't be implemented throughout.
So let's move into sort of my last idea here, which is damage as a consequence. If we try to break down a little bit more, theoretically, why do we track hit points and why do we track damage? We come to the idea that, well, realistically, we're tracking damage as a consequence. It is either a consequence of failure or a consequence of poor decisions. The failure could be just not having a high enough armor class to withstand the attack of something, or failing a saving throw. The poor decisions could be jumping off of a cliff that is far too high to jump off of, but it could also be other things. I don't think that we very often, as game masters, use damage as a consequence when there's times that we could, especially considering things like psychic damage exists. There's really no good reason why, like, a well-placed insult couldn't actually give you hit point damage.
If I recall correctly, the bard does exactly that, right?
But is it because it's magical?
Oh, I mean...
Is that the difference?
I mean, tomato, potato.
I mean, this is where we, once again, get down to splitting hairs. But I don't know. I feel like if your character in the tavern hits on a lady and she pours a beer on your head... Kind of feel like you take a little bit of damage, don't you?
I think you should at least take 1d6 embarrassment damage.
Yeah, like that hurts.
Yeah.
Do you have any other ideas for how we could manage damage as a consequence? Effectively kind of pulling damage outside of the realm of combat and using it more as an idea of this abstraction.
I think it could be used for most skill checks. We really liked in 4th edition the concept of these skill challenges, this series of narrative skill checks that need to occur in order to be able to be successful. If we're already allowing on the physical realm, right, where let's say you make a jump and you fall short, you would take some fall damage. Granted, I know that's still physical, but what is the harm in actually having a plan that says you're trying to, in the cliche, convince the Duke to give you his kingdom? And as a result of how poorly you did so, you now take X amount of damage, maybe represented by how you actually feel, or how he's going to now curse your name throughout the entire campaign.
Or even your wizard stays up late one night studying up on the dragon that you're supposed to be fighting later, and he makes a poor roll, so then you say, well, you slept really bad, so you're going to wake up with a little less hit points than you normally would.
And I like this concept. I know that the trouble is going to be bridging the gap between the differences there, between that magical healing and that physical healing, which is always going to be the point of contention. But if all things are allowed to be a part of that same pool, I think that you get some really interesting benefits because of it.
I think it's one of the difficulties that we have in Dungeons & Dragons is that we acknowledge that hit points are an abstraction, but only in certain circumstances. We're like, okay, hit points are an abstraction because... 20 damage from an axe doesn't cut my head off. Cool. Makes sense. But then we have a harder time when we have to deal with, okay, well, can my healing spell heal psychic damage? Can my hit dice heal fire damage? I don't know. Like, things get a little complicated when we try to get down into the weeds of it. And I think it's why people get afraid to be a little more adventurous with how they use damage in a game. Not to mention, the game is... like mathematically built around hey, you can handle a combat of this level because you have this many hit points. So you can effectively take X hits before you are at a certain level of exhaustion, require healing. If the GM begins throwing out hit point damage on skill rolls or other situations of just poor decision making, you run the risk of the player characters becoming less useful in combat as a result. I've talked about before that I think that combat is important because of being able to focus in on it and zoom in, but because of the way that we zoom in on it, it makes it difficult to divorce these ideas of hit points and combat. I want to jump back one more time. I know I've been all over the place. I really do like healing surges from 4th edition, and they're not all that different from how hit dice are managed currently, but I like this idea that all healing, even magical, required your body to be able to heal itself in some way. This meant that even if the cleric had like a really good healing spell, if they cast it on you all day long, over and over again, and you just are an anemic, weak of body person, at some point it's going to have diminishing returns and they're not going to get anything out of it. You can eventually reach your limit. I always kind of liked this idea, and I kind of wish that there was a better way to represent it in the current iteration of D&D. Maybe it's possible that one D&D will try to touch on it a little more.
An additional issue I have with healing as a whole through D&D is how, as it's ingrained in combat, it really isn't that fun or interesting.
Yeah, your cleric's never really dying to heal.
Right. As far as I'm concerned, it's similar to the fighter that only just simply swings the sword. There's no other interesting benefits to it. Don't get me wrong, I understand that narratively there's ways for you to inject something interesting. But in terms of what you're actually accomplishing, what you're doing is that you're swinging your sword a lot. There's no fancy spells. There's no cool abilities that you would use on the back end. It's just swinging your sword. If all your cleric or bard or insert healing class here is doing is just healing, and that's all they're doing, that doesn't really allow for a lot of interesting plays when you're actually in the fray of combat. The moment where everything is zoomed in, you get your heal, but then after that, there's not anything else interesting happening.
I think that's why a lot of clerics and other players playing healing classes tend to lean in hard on the healing word, just because it's a bonus action and allows them to still do something on their turn. Though in most cases, that something that they're doing on their turn extra is usually just hitting something with whatever weapon they have equipped.
I'd also add, Jeremy gave the solution just now in his response. Part of the bigger issue with healing in combat is also how the action economy works in combat. You, as a caster, get a bonus action and a regular action. Well, if your heal, if you happen to have a heal that is a regular action, that is your action for the entire turn. And what we see a lot of players that have the ability to heal gravitate towards are the heals that occur on bonus action, because they mean that you get to bring a character back up from zero to the additional issue you mentioned, back to where they're fully capable once again, and you still get to do something interesting.
Yes, this is definitely the power of healing word. It doesn't heal very much, but remember that if you have just one hit point, you fight at full competency. This means that being able to heal just a little bit, it's almost always better for the cleric to let you fall and then pick you up, because it's more damage efficient. This is a very difficult topic because there's a lot of people who are going to say, well, just don't play this like a video game. But realistically, that's what we're doing when we get into combat. That's when we really focus on the mechanics and we're doing things tactically. So it's difficult, and there's some people that have a hard time getting out of their head this idea of, well, if I'm playing a healer, and if you take 17 damage while you have 5 health remaining, that other 12 damage is just ignored. So why don't I just wait till you get knocked unconscious, so that way you just get picked back up? Doesn't that seem more efficient?
The very fact that the game works in this way means that it really does support and encourage this sort of playstyle that we've described, where the healing actions are going to be bonuses, because that actually gives you the most amount of freedom as a caster to be able to do something interesting on your turn. If just the act of healing itself isn't something that's interesting or very entertaining to do, though helpful it may be, you would much rather heal as an additional action to something else interesting that you would do in your turn. So the mere fact that this difference exists and allows for characters to get the most versatility this way means that it's actively being encouraged in the game that you're playing to work this way.
And once again, on the matter of efficiency, if you've played like any MMORPG or really any video game, you know that dealing damage is always the better option. If you have an option between knocking out an opponent or healing an ally, you should knock out the opponent, because it's going to resolve the conflict quicker. This is a video game concept. It shouldn't necessarily reflect the real world, and that is when things get difficult. But I know Hollis said that really the solution here is more options that could maybe heal as a bonus action. Do you think that maybe like every class that's capable of healing should have like their own bonus action that heals?
Absolutely. I think you might as well give every class the ability to be able to heal some small amount and then do something else interesting on their turn, something that is unique that only they can do.
That's very interesting. How should we limit this? Could they just heal always?
Perhaps it's the sort of thing where the bonus heals that way.
Could only be done a maximum number of times per day.
In that way, maybe we should shift the ability to heal not from hit dice that characters have, but instead to the abilities that other characters have that can heal. And maybe even as a result, we lend more heals to certain characters. I know we'd be getting into the conversation now about the homogenization of classes and how some of the classes are more the same than they are different. But if the goal is to give players interesting, neat things to do on their turn, but we also want to make sure that for following the mechanics and playing the game in a style the game is supporting is done, we might as well make sure that everyone has similar options in terms of versatility. That way no one that plays a particular class feels like they aren't doing something interesting when it's their turn.
I agree. I think that you don't want to feel useless. We've had times in the past in games that we've played that are run by like con GMs or hobby shop GMs. And one particular case, there was a player character that had been knocked down by an attack. So he was at zero, could not act. And then a healer healed him. And so he was back up. And then he was knocked down again before his turn came around. And so the healer healed him again, so he was back up. And then he was knocked down again before his turn came around. Wow, was that a fun game. Just a whole lot of nothing happening. This is what I mean when I talk about exchanging hit points. I think the real lesson to take away from it here is that the more that we treat this like a game, the more it's going to feel like one. And that's not all bad, but I think that by trying to describe these things narratively, we can help encourage that this isn't just a game of, here, you take 5 hit points, now I'll take 3 hit points. There's actually actions that are taking place here, there's a struggle involved, and it's not just who gets to zero first. We haven't really gone into should enemies like flee combat when they're hurt, and it's something that's difficult to do in D&D. Maybe we'll have an episode where we can sort of talk about the player characters and how bloodthirsty they get when an enemy tries to run away. I think that mostly covers everything I wanted to go into on healing. Did you have anything else that you want to hit on?
I think I owe it to this conversation, and to you, Jeremy, to explore some options for how you could make the damage you would suffer in combat more impactful in my games. So whether it's the madness mechanic or a different sort of, you know, injury mechanic I might find online from various sources, I'm going to see if I can try some unique ideas and implement them into my game.
I do hear that you've got a Ravenloft game coming up.
That is correct. My current group is swapping over a bit into the Curse of Strahd pre-made campaign. So I am immensely excited. As we've talked about before, I love this entire world. So I can't wait to show that to them. I think we're going to go with madness. And I'm also considering to make it even more meat grindery and have an actual injury table. So maybe I'll get the opportunity to see how the game flows when how many times you fall in a combat affect you in various ways.
I think it's a good idea. Once again, like I said, the idea that you can fall down and get back up and it's more efficient to do that than to not fall down seems like a misnomer. Ideally, you'd think that your character passing out from being hit on the head too many times would be a very bad thing. I would like that to be represented mechanically somehow, but I look forward to hearing your results.
Thanks.
And in the meantime, I think we'll call it here and we will see you next time.
I cannot wait. See you next week.